Ezra chapter 1, and we'll pick up here at, again, at verse number 9, because we went over some stuff last week, but I want to just go back over a couple things here a minute. Ezra chapter 1, verse 9, and this is the number of them, talking about the vessels that Cyrus sent back to Israel, to Jerusalem, to the temple. It says, this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with him of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So, again, we saw all these different things, basins, and you had knives, and you had vessels. Well, the Bible speaks in 2 Timothy, and go there just a minute, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So how do you become a vessel unto honor? Well, you depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. It says here in verse number 19, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You go to Psalm 4 just a minute. Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Verse 3. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Okay, a vessel unto honor. All right, vessel unto honor. Well, we just read in 2 Timothy, what does it say? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. So what does God do for the person that's godly? He sets him apart for himself. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. In fact, that very idea of setting apart has to do with sanctification and consecration and making something holy. All right. So God takes the person that's godly, that'll take it. And I'm telling you, brethren, I'm telling you, that's where God puts the emphasis at. More so than it. Listen, knowledge is fine. It's got its place. That's not where God puts the premium at. He puts the premium on holiness and godliness and separation of life. That's where he puts the premium at. Who did God set apart for himself? Him that's godly. God takes that one that's godly, that individual that'll strive to the best of their ability to live a life that with their thinking, with their actions, is centered around the things of God, and not just matters of mere knowledge, not just pick and choose things, but the individual that'll do their best to live their life and have their thoughts in line with the things of God, that individual that strives for godliness and wholeness in their life, God sets that person apart for himself, for his designs, for his purposes. All right. And he goes right along here in line with this thing about these vessels. So how to be a vessel in the honor? Depart from iniquity. Stay away, according to 2 Timothy, stay away from vain and profane babblings. Stay in the scriptures. The Bible speaks of, notice it says in verse 21, 2 Timothy 2, 21, prepared unto every good work. Prepared unto every good work. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Prepared unto every good work. In other words, the believer that will depart from iniquity, stay away from profane and vain babblings, stay in the scriptures, that individual will be ready for whatever God has for their life. They'll be ready. They will be ready for God to take and do whatever he wants to do with their life. They'll be prepared. They'll be ready. All right. Again, stay away from, depart from iniquity. If it's wrong, stop it. Stop it. Stay away from profane and vain babblings. Things that just don't edify or build you up in the things of God, but rather renew you in how the world thinks. Stay away from that. Stay away from it. Stay in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You stay around the things of God, but you stay in the Scriptures, you will be ready for any good work that God wants to do through and in you. You'll be prepared. You'll be ready. Won't be no catching up, won't be anything. You'll be set, you'll be ready. It's the same principle that, remember in the book of Esther? All those virgins came to see who would become queen. And they would all come, they would all be the wives, if you will, of King Ahasuerus. All right, but the Bible said they had a 12-month process of cleansing and purification they had to go through. But the Bible says Esther got her things quicker. Esther made quicker progress. She got on that thing and it was done. Why? Why did Esther get a head start, as it were? Why did she make quicker progress? Why did that? Why? Well, look at her attitude. She had an attitude of humility. The key was humility. She didn't go in there like she knew what was best with her own ideas. She trusted the judgment of one who knew the king better than she did, and she made that quicker progress. Brethren, look here. Why do some saints seem to make quicker progress in the sense of more ready to whatever God may have for their life? It's humility and being able to yield, being able to submit, listen to the Holy Ghost, not being self-willed or trying to do things always our way or what we think. Notice what Esther did. Instead of picking out what she thought, she trusted what he got, the chamberlain, and he was a type of the Holy Ghost. She trusted what he knew was best, what the king delighted in. And she got her stuff quicker. Her process went quicker. She got her things going, got the ball rolling quicker. And it happens for saints, brethren. Brethren, look here. It's the same kind of thing. Somebody that can listen and take orders, they're going to make progress. They're going to make progress. They're going to move. They're going to go forward. You know, and it's just the truth. A lot of times in school or in classes, you'll see somebody that seems knowledgeable, but they can't listen. But there sometimes are individuals, they have a higher IQ. They have a higher intellect. They have some things. They can't listen. They think they know it all, and they're not going to make progress. You get that one that's maybe not, he's not got as much maybe on the ball, but he can listen. He can take orders. That individual is going to make some progress. And it's the same thing in spiritual affairs. All right. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you want to be a vessel unto honor? That's the final thing there. Flee youthful lust. Follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with him that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. All right. Go back to Ezra now and look at Ezra chapter 2. Now remember what we said. In the book of Ezra, you have a foreshadowing here. I believe it's undeniable, a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like prior to the return of Jesus Christ. I believe you have a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like when the Jews start building the temple again and when Christ returns and builds the millennial temple. I believe you have a foreshadowing of both these things. All right. So look at Ezra 2. I believe you're going to find how the book of Ezra really just ties in real good with the book of Revelation in points. Look at Ezra 2 verse 1. Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. Now I'm going to do a little reading, so bear with me here. All right, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel, the children of Parosh, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Ara, 775. The children of Pahath Moab, of the children of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812. The children of Elam, 1,254. The children of Zattu, 945. The children of Zakai, 703. By the way, Zakai is similar to the Zacchaeus of the New Testament. The children of Bani, 642. The children of Bibai, 620. The children of Asgad, 1,222. The children of Adonikam, 666. The children of Bigvai, 2,056. The children of Aden, 454. The children of Ater, of Hezekiah, 90. The children of Bizai, 323. The children of Jorah, 112. The children of Hashem, 223. The children of Gibar, 95. The children of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. The men of Anathoth, 128. The children of Asmaveth, 42. The children of Kirjath-Aram, Kephira and Beeroth, 743. The children of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. The children of Nebo, 52. The children of Magbish, 156. The children of the other Elam, 1,254. The children of Harim, 320. The children of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725. The children of Jericho, 345. The children of Sinaah, 3,630. The priests, the children of Jediah, of the house of Jeshua, 973. The children of Immer, 1,052. The children of Pasher, 1,247. The children of Harim, 1,017. The Levites, the children of Jeshua and Kadmiel, of the children of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the children of Asaph, 128. The children of the porters, the children of Shalom, the children of Ater, the children of Talmon, the children of Akab, the children of Hattita, the children of Shobai, in all 139. The Nethinims, the children of Zihah, the children of Hasufa, the children of Tabaoth, the children of Kiros, the children of Siaha, the children of Padan, the children of Labana, the children of Hagaba, the children of Akab, the children of Hagab, the children of Shalmai, the children of Hanan, the children of Gidel, the children of Gehar, the children of Reiah, the children of Rezin, the children of Nekoda, the children of Gazam, the children of Uzzah, the children of Pasea, the children of Besai, the children of Asna, the children of Mehunim, the children of Nephusim, the children of Bakbuk, the children of Hakufa, the children of Harher, the children of Basleth, the children of Mahida, the children of Harsha, the children of Barkos, the children of Sisera, the children of Thema, the children of Neziah, the children of Hatipha, the children of Solomon's servants, the children of Sotei, the children of Sophereth, the children of Peruda, the children of Jaelah, the children of Darkan, the children of Giddel, the children of Shephatiah, the children of Hatil, the children of Pokereth, of Zebaim, the children of Amai. All the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants were 392. All these were they which went up from Telmila, Telharsa, Cherub, Adon, and Immer. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. Just 1 second. Okay. Yeah, I was going to stop at 58. Okay. Got going, couldn't stop. All right. Now, we read all those names. All right. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Notice what's going on. What's happening? Israel's been scattered. Okay? Been scattered. A Gentile king, Cyrus, says, go back. Go back to the land and build the temple. And Ezra goes, along with the children of Israel, goes back. They're starting to sacrifice. The things of the temple are taken back. They're getting ready to start laying the foundation. They're going to build the temple. And notice what we have here. We have a genealogical accounting that takes place. All these different people and who they're associated with takes place. Go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7. When the children of Israel, they've been going back. But when it's time to build that temple, and there's a great possibility that some Gentile authority, king, if you will have a part in this. Again, the one that possibly the Antichrist But a Gentile authority having a part of this, of having the Jews build the temple, supporting the thing. Notice what's going on here. It's a Gentile king that tells them to go back. They go back to build, and there's this genealogical accounting that takes place. Well, when Israel starts getting ready to rebuild that temple, that'll take that comes into play in the tribulation. Lo and behold, look at Revelation 7 and verse number 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. So isn't that interesting? That lo and behold, we find here in the book of Ezra, they've gone back to the land. The Gentile king has sent them back. They're rebuilding the temple. Here in the book of Revelation, you're going to have the temple built up. It's the tribulation period. And lo and behold, what's happening? There's a genealogical recording here. In fact, the tribes are known, and 12,000 out of each tribe, Jewish male virgins, are going to be sealed by God in their forehead during that period. Very interesting. That's why I'm telling you, there are a lot of parallels. There's a lot of foreshadowings of things in the book of Ezra that'll take place in the book of Revelation, having to deal with latter times. And so, brethren, what's going to happen is, and we don't know how it's going to happen. God's got it all worked out. But those tribes, there are no lost tribes. There are no lost tribes. God knows where they're at. God knows the lineages. God knows the whole deal. But notice that those tribes are known. They are known. And so much are they known that an angel is going to seal 12,000 Jewish male virgins out of each one of those tribes listed, seal them in their forehead during that time. Wow. What's going on with that? No, a lot of things will become plainer as it moves along toward that time. Brethren, when you get into prophetic events, men have too often thought that they have it all down. They do not have it all down. We have certain things that we can be pretty sure of, but you don't have it all down. People do not have it all down. Nobody has it all down yet. They don't. And a lot of this stuff will not be revealed and understood until it comes time for that period. And the book of Habakkuk even alludes to that. Make the vision plain that he may run that readeth. The vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, the book of Habakkuk says. And so you've got right now, I mean, we can't see how that will happen, but it will. And because right now, listen, right now, Jews can know if they're the tribe of Levi. A lot of Jews know if they're from the tribe of Levi. Because anyone with the last name of Levison, Levi, like that, then you're pretty sure that you know you're from the tribe of Levi. Anyone whose name is Kaplan, Kaplan, Cohen, yeah, exactly. They know they are from the tribe of Aaron. In fact, in a synagogue, if you go to a Jewish synagogue, they'll ask, are there any Cohens here? And most of the time, those people know. They know they're from the Aaronic tribe. And a male from that tribe will be asked to come up at the end of synagogue service and give the high priestly blessing as given in the book of Numbers. And he'll give it because they know. Every year in Jerusalem, they still have a reunion of David's descendants. They still know, many of them still know that they are descended from the tribe of David. But not everything's known. Not everything's known. But a lot of this is. Brethren, there have been some villages in Israel. See, Israel's always had a Jewish presence. Even when they scattered, there's always been some Jews that have always still been in the land of Israel. And there are some folks there that could trace their lineage all the way back to the scattering back in after when our Lord was crucified. They can trace their lineage all the way back to that. Somehow these tribes will be known again. They will be known. And the Lord's going to take, and an angel's going to seal 144,000 of them, 12,000 Jewish male virgins from each tribe. Now, think about today. We may look around and think, well, what in the world? How in the world are you going to find 144,000, 12,000 Jewish male virgins out of each tribe? Who could even find male virgins today the way it is? And let me tell you something. Israel is a very hedonistic place. The Jews there who don't know the Lord or care about knowing God, I mean, they don't know the Lord, they're not saved. But what I'm saying is those that don't care about the Scriptures, the Old Testament, they live very pretty wild lives, many of them do. But things started changing in 1967. The first Jews that came back to the land of Israel in the early 1900s were from Russia, Poland, places like that, and they had communist tendencies. And many of them were atheists, and they were just like, okay, I'm a Jew, that's my nationality. But they, as far as the Scriptures, they said we worked harder on the Sabbath. And so they didn't care. But when Israel got back Jerusalem in 1967, when they got all of Jerusalem back, something changed in the country, and it's something they started noticing. All of a sudden, where Israel tended to be more secular, they started getting more religious, and you started getting more people coming in now, and many of the Jews concerned about the keeping of the Old Testament commandments, the keeping of the law, the observance of things. Now, again, and by the way, brother, if you hear anybody out there tell you that a Jew is okay, he's okay, no, he's not okay. He has to believe in Christ or he goes to hell like anybody else. And anybody saying other than that does a great disservice to the Jewish people. But anyway, they started coming back. They started. So in Israel, a very large religious presence started manifesting itself. The yeshivas, the schools started really getting built up. So now, listen, now you have in Israel, all these different schools, many of them, where young men go to, who are young Jewish male virgins. And it's increasing all the time. See, think about it. 40 years ago, it had been like, wow. 12,000 Jewish male virgins from each tribe, 140 from each. What kind of situation? Well, it's easy to see where it can come from now. I remember I asked Mr. Fox about it. I said, are there yeshivas? Are there schools that have nothing but young boys that are in... Oh, yeah. And there are different Orthodox groups over there, different ones who maintain sexual purity. They do. And so now, they're not saved, but something's going to happen. And it's going to coincide with when Elijah and Moses comes on the scene. And there's going to be a group of them that are going to believe on the Lamb, buddy. They're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to get sealed in their forehead. And God's got a purpose for that during that tribulational period. I just find it interesting that lo and behold, look at the book of Ezra. They're back in the land. They're getting ready to build the temple. And there's this genealogical accounting. Revelation. Tribulation starting. What's going on? This genealogical accounting going on of the tribes and 144,000 of them sealed in their foreheads. All right, now, notice what else. Go back just a minute to Ezra. Ezra chapter 2. Notice what else we find here that's very interesting. Look at Ezra 2 and verse 13. 13 being the number of rebellion. It's not an unlucky number. It's not an unlucky number, but it signifies. It signifies. 13 is the number of rebellion. Look what it says. The children of Adonikam. 666. Well, there's 666, right? And look at the guy's name, Adonikin. Well, 13 is the number of rebellion, all right? Because in the book of Genesis chapter 14, it's the first time you see the number 13 come on the scene, and the 13th year they rebelled. 13 is a number. It's not an unlucky number. It's a number of rebellion. That's why 13 colonies rebelled against England. 13 states rebelled against the rest of the country, the stars and the bars. Isn't that interesting? Brother Ruttman did an outstanding study about this thing. It is fascinating. And it has to do with the number 13 and X. Isn't it strange? X marks the spot. The Antichrist, there's a mark associated with him. The Bible says their spot is not the spot of. So X marks the spot. All the words that end in X is amazing, the bad connotations. Hex to vex. In fact, a hex, you know what the word hex means? It means six. Someone says they put a hex on somebody, they sixed them. They sixed them. Six, 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 X. There is something to that stuff. It doesn't mean that these are lucky or unlucky numbers. It does mean there is signification. It does mean that. And six and X, there's some strength. It's a cross there. Look at that. 13 colonies, they rebelled against England. The 13 states, they rebelled. They pulled out. And what was their symbol? Great big X there. That's truth. Not anybody to see that. I believe there are men there that loved God greatly and all like that. They didn't see all that. But still, these things, there's rebellion, right? Well, verse 13 here, we see the number 666 associated with a man called Adonikam. And his name means Lord of the Rising. Lord of Rising, as in high. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. This is very interesting. Lo and behold, we have here what's happening. The Jews have gone back. They've gone back to the land. A Gentile king has sent them back. Build the temple. They're getting ready to build it. There's a genealogical accounting. And we find in there, in the verse 13, this man named Adonikam, whose name means Lord of Rising, who's associated with the number 666. Amazing. Because in Revelation 13, guess who comes on the scene? You've got the beast on the scene. You've got the beast there in Revelation 13. Brethren, these things aren't just coincidental. They're just not. All right. Look at Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. See, he's going to rise. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. All right. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So notice, what's the devil going to do? I'm going to ascend. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. He's going to rebel. All right. He's going to ascend. Going to go up. Adonikam, Lord of Rising, as in high, getting up. What's the number associated with him? Well, 666. There's no coincidence with that. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2. Adonikam, Lord of Rising. Lord of Rising. Habakkuk 2, look at verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The quickest way for you to fall is to lift yourself up. And the quickest way for God to exalt you is for you to bring yourself low. Jesus said it. He said, Jesus said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Take your Bible, go to Daniel 11. Daniel 11. Daniel chapter 11. I'm just telling you, brethren, there's some things here in the book of Ezra that have wonderful foreshadowings concerning that tribulational period. Daniel 11, look at verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself. See, exalting, lifting oneself up. And he shall magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. But that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. What's Adonikam mean? Lord of Rising. Lord of Rising. Associated with 666. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? who was able to make war with him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. By the way, brethren, those folks that will be around during that time period. And again, mainly, brethren, it's going to be the Jews who God's going to be dealing with at that time. But notice those that are around during that time period. Brethren, notice the patience and faith of the saints. Look what they're warning. It's he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that they should that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's in Revelation 13, and notice that the number is given in verse 18, and 18 is 6 three times. There's just no coincidence about those things. There's not. Now, brethren, that shows you, brethren, the King James translators, all right, brethren, they're just letting God guide them when they put chapter and verse markings. Brethren, see, I believe completely that the Holy Ghost inspired them as to the layout of the chapter and books in there and to the numbering of verse, chapter, and verses and their markings. I believe the Holy Ghost inspired and guided that. Do you believe they knew what they were doing? Not a bit. I don't believe they had a clue what they were doing. I believe God inspired and God worked through that. It's unbelievable, brethren. It just is. The very chapter and verse markings of that King James Bible show the mark of inspiration. And this does. And so anyway, you have here in Revelation 13, all right, you have the beast on the scene. And just as a quick summation, something's going to happen. Now, from what we can see here, brethren, this institution of the mark doesn't come in until the latter half, that last 42 months, the last 3.5 year period. Brethren, and you're going to, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to still hear, you're going to hear people, as technology moves along, there's going to be all kinds of things continually coming down the pipeline. People saying, this is the mark of the beast, or this is the mark of the beast, or this is mark. Brethren, listen. Brethren, the mark of the beast gets instituted when the beast is on the scene. And when something happens, brethren, to where then the false prophet, they make the image of the beast. It's during that time of the tribulation. From what we can gather by the timetable here, the second half of it. So what do you think it'll be? I believe it's going to be exactly what it says. A mark in their head or in their right forehand. Their forehead or in their right hand. Just like the Bible says. I do not believe it's a computer chip. I do not believe it's any of that stuff. I believe it's what the Bible says. It's exactly what the Bible says. Now listen. Brethren, I guess there are bars in Europe that are already getting put in computer chips in. But that's not the mark of the beast. I don't think it's very smart. I don't like it. I don't want none of it. They're starting to chip people now for medical purposes. Brethren, if your aunt or uncle or your grandpa or grandma or somebody you know gets a chip for medical purposes, they did not take the mark of the beast. All right? They did not. That is not the mark of the beast. All right? Now, is it moving toward that kind of stuff? Well, yeah, I think it's getting moved. But let me tell you something, brethren. We're getting people used to having marks on them. Let's just be honest. Tattooing's gone through the roof. It has. It's just, no, it's just, brother, come on. It's just, if people are just to where it's like, it's no big thing. It's just no big thing. I don't know exactly how this is going to be, but it's some kind of, it's a mark. Brethren, listen, during this time period, it's going to be like that you've got God's people, the church gone. From what we see in scripture, church gone. But 144,000 Jewish male virgins are going to be sealed in their forehead. Do you think they got a computer chip? I don't think angels come put computer chips in people's heads. All right? No. No. Just like you got in Ezekiel, there was a mark. They got a mark, right? There's going to be a mark associated here. Hey, brother, I don't believe it's a computer chip. I don't believe anything like that. I believe it's exactly what it says. Look at false religions today. What does a faithful Catholic do on Ash Wednesday? Boom, puts that dot right between his eyes. What does a Hindu do? Puts that dot right between their eyes. There's a mark. There's a spot. Hey, look, check out the beast. What is he? He's a leopard. What's a leopard got on him? Black spots. There's a reason for that stuff. There's a reason for that stuff. You know what? A leopard has been said to be the perfect integrated beast. Think about it. And this world, we're becoming one, right? And we are. You know that. Look at the way things order today. And I mean, it is one. Brethren, national sovereignty is over. I don't like it, but it's over. Now, what I mean by that is you're going to have groups wanting, but yet still there's a combination of things here. But look at that beast, the leopard. You ever thought about a leopard? Brother Ruttman pegged that thing right when he said, look, it's got the yellow of the Asiatic, the white underbelly of the Caucasian, and the black of Ham. It's a perfectly integrated beast. It's got everybody all together in one, and it's got those spots all over it. And Antichrist is associated with what? A spot, a mark. Cain, first type of Antichrist, he was marked. Isn't it interesting there in the book of Deuteronomy, their spot is not as our spot? And that's what the Lord said Israel will sing in the latter days. Lo and behold, those Jews are going to get sealed in their forehead, those Jewish male virgins, the Antichrist, the beast, false prophet, people have to take a mark to buy or sell. Amazing. But what I'm telling you, brethren, is this. Take the Bible for what it says. Because if you don't, you'll get yourself all in all kind of... Listen, brethren, you're going to find all over the place, if you look hard enough, and I don't advise that you do, you will find 666 in all kinds of places. All right? In technology. All right? It's out there. All right? But that's not the mark of the beast. And that's not... It just shows you where things are going. But that's not... Brother, look here. I have heard that on the UPC codes, that if you break down the UPC codes, that you'll find 666, that you'll find... Who knows? You may not. But that's not the mark of the beast. It just helps reemphasize the fact that you and I are under a world that right now has been given over to the God of this world. And he has his imprint on all kinds of things and all kinds of places. All right? So be very careful. Brethren, sometimes people go down that track of trying to find everything that's associated. Brethren, if you do, you'll get to where you won't be able to do anything, even live or spend. Brethren, your dollar bill is a Masonic masterpiece. Do you know that? Your dollar bill is a Masonic masterpiece. What? Don't become a Mason. But your dollar bill is your dollar bill. And so use your dollar bill just like you've been using it. And that's not you. But I'm telling you, brethren, you're be careful that you don't get superstitious. But also, what would you do if you was in a hotel and you was on the 13th floor? I'd go to sleep on the 13th floor. And I'd pray like God. What if your room number was 666? Oh, I just asked God to protect me like I always did. Not that I would particularly enjoy it. If I had my choice, I'd probably go 777 rather than 666, of course. But brethren, that room and that number is not going to affect me spiritually unless I yield to superstition and let the devil get a foothold in my brain. Am I going to tear 666 out of the pages of my Bible or pages of books I read or pages? It is a number. I'll skip it. It's still there. It's just... Listen to me. Be careful. Be careful. Brethren, be careful about making more of something than what's there. Don't go into the realm of superstition. Okay? Because if you go that route, you cannot imagine how the devil will latch hold of you and not let go. And it will increase more and more in your life to where he'll cause you stutter-stepping with everything you do. Listen to me. I heard a brother say one time, say he was getting ready to roll in somewhere and his odometer was getting ready to turn 666. He says, well, excuse me, I've got to roll. Well, come on, man. Stop. Don't do that. All right? I'm just telling you, listen, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that when that individual is on the scene, in fact, the latter half of when he's on the scene, and the false prophet with him, they will make it to where individuals have to take a mark in their head or forehead, and they can't buy or sell without that. We look for the church to be gone, that time taking place, so look what it is. Is there associations there? You better believe it. You better believe it. But take it for what it is, understand it, and don't make more of it, and don't let yourself go into the realm of superstition. Because, brethren, if you do, you will lay yourself open for the devil wreaking havoc with you and causing you to stutter step and causing you to take, and your life will now be determined. Brethren, that's what astrology has to do with. Your life is being determined around numbers and things like that. Numbers in the Bible mean things, but they're not to rule your life. That'd be like, 7 come 11. You know, I'm going to, it should be rolled dice to start with trying to make money on like that. Of course not. But look, it's like, my lucky number. Come on now. Stop. You may have a number you like. That's fine. You get to choose a number. That's fine to like one. Don't let it determine your life. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. You're going to lay yourself open for some things. All right? What was other thing? It's just a thing you've got to be very careful about, brethren. That guy in the Bible, Adonikam, we just read about. Lord of Rising is what his name means. Brethren, that's in there to teach us some things. It don't mean that guy was messed up or bad. Hey, for all we know, he was a righteous man. He went back with the children of Israel. There's nothing bad with him. You know, nothing bad at all. Solomon had a throne that had 666 associated with it. It had six steps, six lines on one side, from what we can tell, six lines on the other. The amount of gold that came to him in one year. But Solomon started out pretty good, beloved of the Lord. He went bad later on. But that is what I'm saying is, brethren, numbers do not signify things, and they can't affect your life unless you allow them to. And I'm serious, brethren. Be careful about that. I'll be careful. Because I know someone, again, I had an evangelist one time. Said, yeah, I was rolling in. And I stopped my odometer, about turned over, so I wanted to make sure I rolled a few more before it stopped. And I was like, that ain't good, man. That ain't good. That ain't good. You're going to lay yourself open some things if you're not careful. That's not a good thing. Listen, don't get me wrong, brethren. As far as things go, because of its connotation here, I'm not like, and can I explain what I mean real quick? I didn't want to do this real quick. Brethren, don't get me wrong. If I went in a hotel and had my choice of rooms, I wouldn't say, oh, could I have the one that's labeled 666? I wouldn't do that. Of course not. I'm saying, brethren, if it was a room or if it was a whatever and that's what it was, well, that's what it is. Okay. And to go and go, oh, wonder what that means. Nothing unless you let it. Nothing unless you let it. Man, my house number's 3666. What do I do? Move? I tell you, lie. Why did I put 7 on it instead of a... No, no. It means nothing unless you allow it to find a foothold in you and cause you to stutter step and cause you to be superstitious. Understand and get a hold of that, brethren. Please, because I'm going to tell you something. All people are prone to be, even saved people, if they're not careful, can be prone to be religiously superstitious. and the devil will jump on anything that he can. Do you understand that? Brethren up there in the mountains where I'm from, that crowd up there that didn't have any scriptures, but they knew bits and pieces about God, man, you can't believe some of the superstitions. They'd blow your mind, man, sometimes, some of the things. Seriously. And because people, even saved people, brethren, can get to where they see things in the Bible that show things, that illustrate things. And that's good. Don't take it further than that. Don't take it and say, oh, I wonder what that means now about my life. Brethren, God operates through His Word and without confusion. Man, my symbol for this game was the leopard. What does that mean? It means you got a leopard. What if yours was the ape? I mean, what's it? Maybe that means you smell like one. I mean, just, all I'm saying is, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't make more of something than what it is, or you will allow the enemy to mess with your head. Seriously. You know what? I guarantee you, I wouldn't be surprised if there's people out there that have gone through and be like, man, I've got a tattoo. Maybe I've let the Lord think that I'm willing to stop. You got a tattoo. It ain't the right thing to do. Move on. Get the thing right with God, press on. Move ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, listen. Take it for what it says. Don't make no more. Don't make no less. And keep yourself from falling prey to something that falls into the realm of superstition, luck, or letting created things of God, instead of meaning things, let them rule your life. Let me give you an example. I'll stop right here because we got to stop. You take the stars. There is undoubtedly much to be learned by the constellations. You know, we've done studies here. We've shown how the 12 constellations, think about it. How many tribes of Israel? 12. Israel themselves, the children of Israel, the people of Israel, they associate each one of those constellations with one of the tribes. And there's no doubt that that's true. God names some of the constellations and mentions them in the book of Job. Orion, you're able to see that here now in December. Orion's out of it every night. Those constellations mean things. They tell the gospel story. You can read the gospel story in the stars from Virgo the Virgin to Leo the Lion, the second coming of Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's written in the sky. All right, now, it's fine. It's great. Definitely shows things. All right? Now, but when you start, that's astronomy, and that's fine. But when you start getting to astrology, and you're like, whoa, the moon is in Aries, man, that means, and then you start like, no business deals today, because the moon's in Aries. That don't mean a thing. And if you're not careful, you will fall into divination and astrological kind of things that the Bible condemns. And that can be a dangerous thing. All right? You'll say, well, it's like the sun today is in Pisces. Not a good day to get your hair cut. But the only day it's not a day to get a good haircut is if you're busy or don't have enough money or the barber's no count. You want a haircut, get a haircut whenever you want it. You don't let the stars determine when you cut your hair, when you conduct a deal, when you do. But listen. But they are there to show us things. Don't you understand? Everything that's right and good, the devil has a way of slightly twisting it or turning it. You should be aware of it. And the key to that thing is always not making more or less than what a thing is. So this morning, kind of once again, I had not meant to take that much time concerning this issue of numbers and things. We're just going through there and pointing these things out. Well, they're definitely there. There's something to them. That's for sure. Don't make more of it. Don't let it run your life. Don't let it cause you to stutter step and cause you to fall into a superstitious mindset. That can be dangerous. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray you'll teach us and direct us and help us and guide us. Help us, Lord, dear God, to have the right balance at all times. Father, help us to realize that, Lord, we have an opponent who is constantly trying to find some element of some piece of ground in our mind that he can, Lord, operate out from. Lord, help us to realize and understand, dear God, that there is a real opponent that is trying to get just one little square inch of space in our mind. And if he can get that, then he can operate on that to get another space and then another space. And that's how he gains ground. And Father, help us, Lord, to understand these things. And dear God, help us to have the right balance on things, that we go not to the right hand nor to the left, not making more, not making less than what your word tells us. And Father, help us to appreciate the principles we see without, Lord, going beyond and letting numbers or things run our life in a superstitious spirit. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.